Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
The only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it. According to this word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. All right, get those notebooks out. To adjust my timer up here, y'all was gonna be in trouble because it certainly was set on 60 minutes instead of 45. I have my Wednesday timer set. This particular subject has pretty much determined that I get on y'all nerves after about 30 minutes. And that's all right. I told Devin before we came out, I said, I told you at the beginning of the series I was going to do a strong 30 minutes. Y'all said, oh, God, that was too short. So then Wednesday I did 60 minutes, and y'all said, oh, God, shut up. And so I met y'all in the middle. Y'all going to get a strong 45. So y'all get y'all's minds right, get your notebook. Each week, we have focused on a different character trait that God is calling us to in order to be prepared for arrival. That's what we've been trying to get to, preparing for arrival. Now, allow me to say, as I begin, some of us in this room is hard-headed and stubborn. Just hard-headed. But that's all right, though. God can deal with you better. So I've given four character traits. The first one is we have to be bold. Secondly, we have to be focused. Then we have to be humble. And today, we must deal with being willing. It is the premise of willingness that, as we focus on it today, that we need to be honest with ourselves. Because the scripture says, Elder Lila, if you are willing and obedient, then you'll eat the fruit of the land. This teaches us, if you will, that obedience in and of itself is not enough. Because some of us have been obedient with an attitude. I did it. I did what you said, Lord. Yeah. Come on. Don't act like some of y'all ain't been there. Yeah. All right, Lord. I did it exactly the way you wanted me to do it. However, doing it, as the Bible would say, grudgingly or of necessity doesn't work. Because just like all other giving, watch it, God loves a cheerful giver. So that means that you can't be willing with an attitude, because willingness is something you give. It's like any other seed. Catch up, Veronica. It's like any other seed. And you reap what you sow. Therefore, if you haven't sown willingness, you don't reap willingness. Why is everybody giving me such a hard time? Maybe because you have hard time seeds in the ground. So let's look at, Bishop Designate Daphne has taught me how to take my time. Let's look at John the Baptist, the final section of our pericope in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 13. I'm only going to dissect verses 13 through 17. Behooves you to leave your Bibles open. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John. I'm going to read it all, then we'll dissect it. Jesus arrives from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John. Coming to John. Coming to John. To be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, help me, permit it at this time. For in this way, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So what have we seen so far? Media, you can put verse 13 back on the screen. What have we seen so far? What have we seen? We have seen John the Baptist goes out. We know he's in camel hair. And he's eating locusts. Wild honey. In the middle of the desert, telling folk to repent. My man's got a bold message. He didn't come doing this like the other Pharisees or the Sadducees. He came out another way. He wasn't like everybody else, and neither was he trying. I hope that helps somebody going into 2024. I need you to be who God called you and stop trying to be a cheap imitation. Please. Stop trying to be a cheap imitation. Be who God called you to be. Give yourself permission not to be governed by somebody else's opinion. Because you've been under the thumb of somebody else's view of you long enough. The reason you're not accomplishing what God has called you to accomplish is because while you try to mimic somebody else with a different call, the mimicking that you have of them is not going to get you to what God has for you. Coach, offensive linemen shouldn't go out to the field trying to be wide receivers. Them O-line boys, they got different diets, everything different about them. Them O-line boys, I don't need you out here trying to be a wide receiver, getting our quarterback all whooped because you want to run routes. Sir, we don't need you to run routes. Yeah, but the wide receivers get all the catches. Oh, help me. Help me. Help me. The wide receivers get all the catches, you know. The wide receivers get their name called. I take all of the punishment. I take all of the hits. I do all of the protecting, and they very rarely call my name unless it's for a penalty. O-line, we always getting called for false start. hands to the face. Illegal use of the hands. They ain't calling them other boys for that. They get to run out foot loose and fancy free. I want to be a wide receiver. But you're not made to be a wide receiver. It takes us all, help me, doing what we're called to do if we're going to win the game. You're so busy trying to be somebody you're not. You're not doing the job that God built you to do. So, I got to be willing. Willing to do what? What he tells me to do, not what I want to do. Because here's what I'm finding. I'm finding this. Listen to me real close. Some folks are absolutely willing to do what they want. Y'all missed it. You will put extreme amounts of energy into your will. John the Baptist out there doing what God told him to do. He's focused. Focused on the opportunity because he could have clapped back, then he didn't. Some of y'all been spending too much clapback time this year. You clapping back over circumstances ain't got nothing to do with you. I've seen it. The whole body of Christ has been in a multi-day debate over somebody they don't even know. John the Baptist, I'm going right. John the Baptist. You wasting time. John the Baptist remained humble when the circumstances could have made him arrogant. And we get to the last section of this chapter. And we find something interesting. Because now the great one is in his face. See, before this, he had said, is somebody coming? He greater than me. I can't even tie the man's shoes. He got a winnowing fork in his hand. He'll be here. As my grandfather would say, he'll be here directly. And now the great one is here in his face. Please understand, it is during this time that willingness was tested. Explain, Bishop, I will. We cannot claim we are willing until we are presented with a set of actions that we don't want to do. We cannot claim we are willing until we are presented with a set of actions that we don't want to do. When God comes asking you to do stuff beyond your comfort, now we get to determine how willing you are. See, comfort is removed due to fear. Anytime I'm afraid, I won't do what God is asking me to do. Anytime I have a poor perception, I'll push back against God. Anytime I start looking at my own history, I'll push back against God. Yet, just like John, it is imperative that we be willing. Somebody say, be willing. Look at verse 13 again. Jesus arrived. Oh, Lord, right there in his face. Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan to John. Not just walking around. Come on, put your mind's eye what's going on. John the Baptist is literally preaching in the desert, telling everybody that this great man is coming, and he shows up. And he don't just show up walking around. He shows up and come looking for John. And he comes looking for John, and he says, I want to be baptized. Jesus arrived to be baptized. Slow it down. Jesus arrived, not to ask questions, not to talk. Jesus showed up with an agenda. Still haven't caught it yet. Write this down. Every encounter with God has a purpose. Every encounter with God has a purpose. And so if you're saying you're willing, anytime he shows up, you're willing to fulfill his agenda. it's going to settle in. See, Jesus shows up to get what he wants. I'm about to mess up some stuff today. The Bible says you're called according to his purpose. Okay, wait. So oftentimes what we believe is when the Lord shows up, he shows up to bless you. Jesus showed up not to bless John. Jesus showed up to be baptized. How many times do we miss what Jesus showed up for? Because when he showed up, we start asking him for what we want. He came with an agenda. So when the Lord shows up in our lives, we're like, whoo, glad you're here. I've been waiting. We treat him, to use this season, we treat him like Santa. I left you a list. I left you a list. I've been nice, not naughty. Five things I need. And the Lord is like, wait. I came with an agenda of my own. You should be grateful that I showed up for you to participate in my agenda. Huh? So sometimes we're like, but hold on, the Lord blesses you. But the Lord blesses you in order to be a blessing. Amen. He blesses you for a reason. Okay, let's go even further. He don't even save you for you. He saves you for himself. I'll take it a step further. If Jesus didn't want you to do something with the salvation, as soon as you get saved, he'd take you. If that was the whole goal, okay, I just want you saved, then the moment everybody got saved, they'd be like, all right, you saved and I can take you. And you saved and I can take you. No, we're saved in order to now go do work. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when Jesus shows up to John, he shows up to be baptized. How many of us have ever been in an encounter with God and never asked God, hey, what would you like? What are you here for? We don't do that. We actually tell the Lord what to come for. I'm going to keep working today, Elder Deborah. We say, God, there's some people down here who need healing. Come heal them. We summon God for our purpose. As opposed to understanding the character of God, which says this, in me there is light and no darkness at all. So if you summon me for me, watch it. I can't allow darkness to stay. You don't have to ask me to heal if you just want me, because I can't be in the same place as darkness. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. There's some questions you don't have to ask God. He got to do what he got to do just by showing up. Think about this reality for a moment. We look to God as the greatest power only to be utilized to accomplish what we desire. The Bible says we are, this is Ephesians 2, go read it for yourself. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Watch it. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in it. Just go read the whole Ephesians 2 chapter when you get a chance. Because right before that verse I just read, you know what it says before that? By grace you are saved through faith, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Then right after that, because you're his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, huh? That you should walk in that. Oh, Lord. So you mean to tell me I'm created to do what he wants, and he determined what he wanted me to do before I even got here? See, when the Lord shows up in our lives for an encounter, he's coming with an agenda. And this is where we start pushing back. Lord's like, all right, Moses. Because see, I say that to us. And then we go, no, he did this for me. He did that for me. That's because he's gracious and he's merciful. But if we really look at the scripture, when he showed up to Moses, he showed up to Moses with an agenda. When he showed up to Isaiah, he showed up to Isaiah with an agenda. When he showed up to Jeremiah, he showed up to Jeremiah with an agenda. When he came and had a conversation with Mary, he came and had a conversation with Mary with a whole agenda. Then he had to turn around and have a conversation with Joseph, had a whole agenda with that conversation. He didn't come to them and was like, hey, I'm here, what y'all need? We do that. We pray for encounters that we're not going to utilize. We tap God to show up in our worship services when God knows you don't want me there for me. You want me there for you. Oh, it's quiet in here. So we start pushing back. Put verse 14 up, please. John tried to prevent him. Excuse me. John tried to prevent Jesus. You just said that he was greater than you and you wasn't worthy to tie this boy's shoes. He says, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Now, when we read this, Veronica, we read this real soft and sweet. We read it real humble, don't we? I have need to be baptized of you. That's how we read it. I think because we know better and we ain't gonna raise our voice to Jesus. So we trying to help John. So we read the text according to what we know. But that word prevent in the text, the word prevent in the Greek means, watch this, he attempted to dissuade by forceful and energetic action. Forceful. In other words, John was like, I know. Like, right. Said it with his chest. John tried. Then I start thinking about that thing, because at first I'm like, slap him, Jesus. Get him. You know, open up the sky, crack the sky. But watch this. Come on, it's gonna get tight. I got 24 more minutes. What you know about yourself will cause you to push back against God. Y'all didn't hear that. I'll come over here. What you know about yourself will cause you to push back against God. John the Baptist was like, look, man, I probably ain't the dude you want to do this. He was adamant in his refusal. He wasn't just dodging what the Lord said. He was in active opposition. And many of us, the more I thought about it, many of us may not think so, but we're also in active opposition to the will of God. We're in active, right now, some of you who I'm preaching to, some of you who are online stream, hey y'all, you are in active opposition to the will of God. Active. You saying it with your chest. Oh no, not me. Yes, you are. How do you know? Just because you're engaging in an abundance of activity doesn't mean that you're doing anything that aligns with God. Just because you're engaging in an abundance of activity does not mean that you're doing anything that God is actually pleased with. You can be busy doing the wrong thing. Busy focused on the wrong pursuits. Busy trying to figure out things that are not even yours to figure out. You can be busy trying to be stuff that you were never supposed to be. Busy, just busy, outside of God's will. And so you can be engaged in quite a bit of activity, huh? And watch this. You can even be engaged in activity that makes people applaud, that makes God vomit. Because I would that you would be hot or cold and not lukewarm. Huh? So the lukewarmness of your sometiminess is causing God to be sick of you. And then looking to God, we expend all this energy, all this effort, all these resources. Some of us, you're looking back like, I did all of this, God, all 2023. Look at all that I've done. Look at how much money I spent. Look at how much time. Look at how hard I tried. Look at how much I prayed. Look at how much I did. And God is like, and every time I was around, you didn't ask me nothing about what I wanted. You have expended time, energy, and resources, and none of it went toward purpose. So you're, watch this, you're saying, God, I've been a giver to the wrong things. Because some of those little, you know, year-end write-off receipts. Oh, help us. That you want in order to, oh, Lord, make sure that you're not in trouble in other areas of your life. It's quiet in here. Huh? We need to say, Lord, have I wasted your encounters this year? Do I only have a few clips on my phone where the phone was focused on my feet? Is that all I got? Just pick them up and put them down and pick them up and put them down. That's all you got. That's all you got in 2023. That's all you got. That's all 2023 gave you. A twist, a twirl, and some footwork. No obedience. No change. No transformation by the renewal of your mind. You still don't talk to your parents. You and your siblings still got it out. Your relationships are still in shambles, but your footwork got crisp. Then there are those of us who talk ourselves out of what God wants for us because we have a poor perception of self. I used to do this. I don't feel ready to do that. I'm not good enough to do this. Let me tell y'all something. Can I help you? I think I will. God knows what he's getting when he comes. The Lord is not surprised. He knows exactly who you are when he show up. It's not like he shows up like, whoo, it's worse than I thought. That's not Jesus. It's not like Jesus gets to your life and you're like, man, I didn't know it was this bad. Jeez. Melita, I was putting my notes together and I heard the Lord. And I'll say it exactly the way the Lord gave it to me. An encounter with the Lord is not a fact-finding mission for him. It's not like the Lord says, let me go down and give him an encounter so I can see what's going on. That's a very small view of who God is. An encounter with the Lord is not a fact-finding mission for him. It's a transformation opportunity for us. And let me take it even further. The Lord's view is the only view that matters. I told you at the beginning, stop chasing other people's opinions. Now, that don't mean that you're cold towards folks, because sometimes you get that, I don't care, and then you allow that to make you hard, and your heart gets hardened. That's not what I'm saying at all. However, I'm about to get, two, three of y'all going to get free by what I'm about to say. Are you ready? Because freedom's going to hit. You ready? If others don't feel about me the way God feels about me, their actions towards me cannot be considered as spirit-led. If others don't feel about me the way God feels about me, their actions towards me cannot be considered spirit-led. So why am I bothered? If God tells me one thing and you telling me another, you mean to tell me that I'm going to put more stock in the lies of men versus the promise of God? And I'm about to go crazy over the lies of men? God, how you feel about this situation? Okay, I'm going with you. And if their feelings about me don't line up with your feelings about me, my heart is not hardened towards them. I'm just not going to put any stock in their behavior toward me because they're not spirit-led. I love you recognizing that is not true. As we move forward, stop. Oh, yes, God. Stop getting stressed out over stuff that ain't even factual. It's not true. No, but they said it. They said that's the way they feel. Okay? I believe they feel that way. But those feelings don't come from the one who saves me. So I'm going to let you have your feelings. You can have your feelings. Have it your way. You can have your feelings. Amen. So we can go through all these tactics to attempt to push back against the will of God, but the Lord is persistent. Anybody know the Lord is persistent? Put verse 15 up. I'm almost through. Oh, help me. I only got 16 minutes. Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it." Now, he had already tried to push back. Poor John, talking crazy. Jesus, he's so nice. "Permit it at this time. For in this way, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. That word permit. Now, we got to go just a little deeper, Kay. Permit. The word permit means to consent to. Or give permission. To consent to. Or give permission. Now, I need y'all to understand something. This is important. This is God in flesh standing in front of John, who just tried to prevent God in flesh from fulfilling the will of the Father. And Jesus responds to John not like we think he would, like, because I said so. Jesus said, "Permit it." In other words, Jesus asked John for permission. This is God in flesh standing in front of John, asking him for permission. Because you have the free will to reject God. But if you make the decision to reject God, the result of that rejection is not God's fault. If you make a decision to reject God, what you get from rejecting God ain't on God. If this is not a massive lesson in volition, I don't know what it is. It was an important point in the life of Jesus. He comes to John for a singular reason. This is the agenda. I came to you to be baptized. You pushed back, and I said, "Can I have permission?" He still didn't force John. And if he's not going to force John for this, what make you think he's going to force you? John knew Jesus was superior, but John is allowing the words of his own sermon to bite him. John had already said, "I'm not worthy." And he allowed those words to be hidden in his heart and hinder his purpose. Here's the thing. John was absolutely right. He wasn't worthy. He wasn't worthy. But Jesus wasn't looking for worthy. He was looking for willing. Okay. Jesus was like, "I didn't come looking for worthy. I came looking for willing." This done got the church in all of this trouble because you're trying to wait to give God a yes until you're worthy. God's like, "I didn't come for worthy. I came for willing. I'll deal with the worthy later. You give me the willing, and I'll make you worthy. See, you want to get yourself worthy before you even get willing. No, that's not the way you do it. You come to me willing. I'll make you worthy. Huh? Because watch this. You'll never become, watch this, worthy until you get under the blood of Jesus. Huh? But in order to get under the blood of Jesus, you got to get willing first. Please let me help you. Stop trying to clean yourself up before you get to the fountain. Huh? What's the song say? There is a fountain. Filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel, and sinners plunge beneath, huh? Lose all their guilt. Oh, y'all. So you're sitting up there like, all right, let me clean myself before I tell the Lord yes. And Jesus is like, you can't clean nothing like I can. He shows up to John, and John is like, I'm not worthy. And Jesus is like, I know. I love the King James of this. The King James, we missed the translation. I understand why the translators did it like this in the NASB, but the King James says, suffer it. Just suffer it to be so. Just suffer it. Just go through it. Go through what you don't understand to get better. I know you don't, I know it ain't making no sense. I know you don't understand why this happened and that happened. I know you don't understand why they left you. I know you don't understand why you lost that. I know you don't understand why it seems like you always going uphill. I know you don't understand why they said one thing and did another. I know you don't understand why you work so hard but still struggle financially. Just give it just a second, because if you come willing, he'll make you worthy. Trust me when I say, trouble don't last always. Trust me. Trust me. Come on now. I got a bunch of testimony I can call that weeping may endure. And I think that that's where we got messed up, Elder Angela. Weeping may endure. And we messed around and told the Lord weeping will endure. That's not it may. It ain't even got to endure the whole night. If you're crying all night, it's because you want to. Hey, but the tears stop when your mind changes. I know some of you are like, Lord, I'm not worthy, and I did this wrong, and I did that wrong. And the Lord's like, I know. You ain't telling me nothing I don't know. I know stuff that you don't even know about yourself. You're going to mess up today, and you didn't even plan on doing it. And I still love you, and I still care for you, and you're still my child. Yes, sir. He said, permit it. This is what I'm saying to some of y'all. Some of you need to say, Lord, I permit you. My bad, God. All this pushing back I've been doing. Lord, come on. Do what you're going to do. Do what you're going to do, Lord. I done threw my list away. Do what you're going to do, God. I'm ready. And see, some of y'all, that made you nervous. That made you nervous right there. That made you nervous. Like, what if the Lord asked me to do something I can't do? He will. Okay. He will. He specializes. Y'all excuse me. He ain't gonna ask you nothing that you already know how to do. God, come on now. If you think 2023 was something, y'all give it a few more days, because I prophesy to a few of y'all that he's about to get you to the edge of your capability to show you just how capable he is. You sit up here and you keep telling God, 8 more minutes. You keep telling God, I can't do it. I can't do it, God. I can't do it. I don't have enough. The Lord's like, I know. Ain't it great? I'm not smart enough. I know. God, I read the job description and I'm not qualified. Watch me give it to you. Watch me give it to you. Lord, how in the world are you asking me to apply for stuff that I ain't got the qualifications for? Because I'm qualified. Yes. 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 I'm qualified. Yes. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. Y'all got to hear me. Jesus is not a cosigner. He's the principal signee. Yes, yes. They missed that. Yes, Jesus is not a co-signer. Y'all still ain't caught it. He don't co-sign. It's not like Jesus is like, what you want? Okay, come on, I'll co-sign with you. What you want? Come on, I'll co-sign. No. Here's what the Lord wants to do. This is what I want. I'm the principal signee on destiny. I'm going to take on all of this. I just need you to be willing. The reason you're struggling is because you said yes to stuff God said no to. And when you say yes to things that God says no to, are y'all listening to me today? When you say yes to things God says no to, he is no longer obligated to sign. He's like, oh, you went out and got that on your own? I didn't tell you go get that. You went out and got that on your own? Them payments gonna be steep. Payments on that gonna be steep. Huh? Because if you would have let me sign for what I wanted, there is no interest. Never mind. So he's not looking for worthy. He's looking for willing. And there's a benefit to willingness. You know, we like to call out the text. And I've taught on it before. Y'all know who've been listening to me. Eyes have not seen that Corinthians text. Ears have not heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. Like, we love it. And we don't read the next verse. But the Spirit revealed it. So the Spirit will reveal what eyes can't see and ears can't hear. So you mean to tell me that when I'm willing, I put myself in a posture to consistently experience what eyes can't see and ears can't hear? That means that my lack of willingness will close my eyes and close my spiritual ears. So maybe you can't discern what's in front of you because you weren't willing during the encounter. You're asking the Lord to open your eyes, but you're not submitted to the eye opener. It's not going to work like that. As soon as John permitted Jesus to be baptized, John got to see something that nobody else saw. Yeah, okay.
Come on.
Are y'all with me here?
Yes.
If John would have continued to reject what Jesus came for, he would have missed an encounter with the Holy Spirit, which was before time. John literally encountered the Holy Ghost 3.5 years before everybody else. All because he was willing to do what Jesus wanted. You mean to tell me that my willingness will allow me to experience stuff before everybody else? My willingness will allow me to do what nobody else is doing, to see what nobody else is seeing, to hear what nobody else is hearing, just because I'm willing. There are some things that people are going to catch up with later that God has already shown you when you will. Okay. I got to give it to you. I got to give them to them practical. I got just 3 minutes. I'm going to read this text, but let me say this to a couple of you. I'm going to say it to a couple of you. All of my business owners, go ahead and put your hands up. Everybody who owns a business, come on, don't be shy. Put those hands up. I see y'all. Now put those hands down. Let me help y'all business owners up in here. If you're willing, God will leapfrog you above your industry. And the innovation that God gives you now, the rest of your competitors won't even catch up for years. If you're willing now, he's going to give you insight. Are y'all listening to me? See, Kim, okay, y'all fooling with me today. See, Kim, because of everything going on in the educational system, y'all, I ain't never mind prophesying. Because of everything going on in the education system, your entire industry is about to get flooded with wannabes. A bunch of people who think they can do it better, and you've been here for a few years already. However, the Holy Ghost wants to leapfrog you so that you're already ahead of the innovation curve. And you no longer have to go look for resources, but resources start coming to look for you. The reason that many programs like yours break the cycle and they end up fizzling out is because they lose stamina in looking for resources. That's not the plan that God has for you. Here's the reality for her and for even the other business owners, but I need to say this specifically to you. God is about to start sending people who want to fund the innovation. Funders will come looking for the innovation, all because you were willing enough to do what God said, and then God is going to give you a supernatural idea. Over the next few months, there's going to be a bunch of people who have ideas for you, but there's a supernatural seed already in you. That's the idea they're looking for, not the ones that people think make sense. Are y'all hearing me? That's the same way for many of you in here right now. You were scared all year. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't understand why that book is still in draft form. So, okay. I hear you, Lord. I don't understand why you still got a draft. I don't understand why you haven't started it. Why is the website not paid for? Why did you register the domain name but do nothing else? Oh, I'm going to talk what I'm talking about today. Huh? The spirit of fear is not going to take you moving forward. Why didn't you take the real estate class? Why not? Why didn't you do what God told you to do? Why not? Why didn't you enroll in that class? Why not? No, I'm going. Why didn't you enroll in that class? Why did you tell yourself that your last educational experience was the substratum of who you are? Just because you did bad in the last class doesn't mean that you're going to do bad in your next enrollment. You gave up on school because you had one bad class. And you had one bad class because you said yes to a program that you didn't get endorsement from God. You were looking at the degree that was going to give you more money instead of the thing that God had breathed on. Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk in here. Let me see what program I need to enroll in. Who hiring? No. Stop. Watch this. Stop looking for opportunities to run from your yes. Yeah. Don't put it off another year. I'm looking around at you. Some of y'all need to go on in and roll on back. Go on and roll on back. Don't make me call names. Because I see a few over here. This section. This must be my rebellious section over here. Now, some of y'all saying, okay, I'm over time. Some of y'all saying that y'all don't believe that that's what the Lord will do. Thank you. She back there helping. Carlos, you got help today. She's like, that's all right. Go ahead, Bishop. You and Carlos, I appreciate y'all. Go to the next verse. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately. Now, he would have missed all of this. He would have missed all this. Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open. You would have missed it. Your rebellion is going to cause you to miss the heavens opening. All this spooky talk about open heaven, and we ain't told nobody to be obedient. All these spookies coming out talking about there's an open heaven. Woo-wee! Open heaven. Just a bunch of spookies talking about I feel an open heaven. But you ain't told nobody to be willing and obedient. The heavens open for willing and obedient. And watch this, when the heaven open, it don't always open for you. Right. Y'all missed it. These heavens opened for Jesus. John just got to experience it. Sometimes the experience is enough. You don't even have to partake in it. Okay. Behold, the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. Verse 17. And behold, a voice. Sorry. A voice out of the heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do y'all see this? John would have missed all of this. John got to hear the voice of the Father. He got to experience an open heaven and hear the voice of the Father, all because he said yes to the Lord's agenda. How many of you have been needing God to say something for a while? Hands down. Okay. If you stop asking him to speak and you just get willing, he'll talk. Lord, Lord, oh, come speak to me, speak to me. He's like, here's the thing. If you just do what I say, I'd have plenty to say. I'd have plenty to say if you just did what I told you to do. All right. I'm going to pray now. Did you learn? How many of you were challenged? That's good. Now, I'm telling y'all right now, we got one more Sunday left of the year. Get your minds right. We only got one more Sunday. And some of you, you know, you're real arbitrary, like, you know, God can't move until 2024. He need to be moving right now. So y'all can get prepared. Because I would hate for an encounter to come and you're not ready. I worked for a very powerful executive one time, and I'm going to pray. And very powerful executive, and she learned that I had some technology skills. So anytime there was a very intense technology project, she would call me to the office. Robert, I'd come to the office, and she'd lay out these intensive technology problems, and give me a minute, I'd come up with these solutions. So I became like her personal IT staff. So we went through a couple of projects, and one time she called me on a very massive project. I had no idea how I was going to do it. She calls me in on the project, and she noticed that I came to her office like I normally did. Notice, she called me to the office. I didn't set the meeting. She called me. She had an agenda. And like normal, I showed up to the office to listen. I sat down. And it was something about this time, and it changed my life. She said, "Robert," "Yes, ma'am." "Where's your notebook?" "Notebook, ma'am?" "Paper? Something to write with?" She said, No, ma'am. I have it. I'm good." She said, "You're not that good." She said, "I'm about to give you the biggest project of your life, and you didn't respect me enough to bring something to write something down." "Be right back, ma'am." I never entered into another meeting with her without a way to take down information. See, some of us are so used to the spooky, ethereal communication with God that we've taken him out of the practical. God is like, "You keep coming to me with nothing to write. How do you expect me to talk? If I gave you something that was detailed, you're not that good. You don't want my voice. You just want to say that you heard me. You're not trying to record. You're not trying to pay attention to this. But watch this. Where we have taken the church has put us in this. A lot of bumbling, a bunch of crying, and no changing. Some of us need to have tissue in one hand, pencil in another, and, all right, Lord. All right, Lord. I mean, just an ugly cry. Box of tissue, towel, do what you got to do. Get you a water bottle, stretch before prayer. Yeah, I mean, come on, let's go. I mean, just, you know. All right, Lord. I'm in it for the duration. How you want to rush prayer? But you want everything else to take long. Never mind, I'm coming off that. I'll say that again on Wednesday. When my Wednesday crowd is here. Father, I thank you and I honor you. You're good. You're kind. You're beautiful. You're merciful. You're gracious. Allow us, God, to not just be hearers, but doers. In Jesus' name. And Lord, if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know you, bring them to you that they may know who you are. Amen and amen. Clap those hands.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.